Julia or no?
I think we'll start with John.
John.
Yeah, I'm going to this morning be discussing matters arising from the review of the pre-ballot draft of the new conceptual framework. There's a couple of matters to discuss, and the first one is in paper 10A, and it's to do with the liability definition. And it's specifically concerns about the paragraphs of the pre-ballot draft that discuss the need for a past event, which is a past action of the entity that will or may require it to transfer a resource that it wouldn't otherwise have had to transfer. And the concerns that were raised were that, as it's drafted in the pre-ballot draft, it seems to be suggesting that a past event isn't always required, and that could lead to a conclusion that liability should be recognised for all sorts of future costs. Now, that wasn't the intention, and so we think that we can sort the problem by drafting improvements. And so you don't need to revisit earlier decisions or make any new decisions. But because it was one of the most significant concerns raised by the reviewers of the pre-ballot draft, and because some of our suggestions for drafting amendments would involve significant redrafting, we thought we should ask you to approve our approach. And the first question is on page 9 of the paper. So the staff recommend that we address the concerns by improving the drafting so that there's no need for the board to revisit its previous decisions. Do you agree?
Excellent. First, I think it's very wise for us to consider the feedback in this stage of the project because we still have time. And if it causes confusion, it's good to be clear. On the paragraph 15, in the drafting, I have only one suggestion for you to consider. I hesitate a little bit in going to the negative form instead of the positive that we had before. I'm not a specialist in English, but I always prefer the positive form instead of does not yet have or has not yet received. I always find more complicated than going straight to the point that we prefer. But of course, staff have gave loads of consideration on how to best write this, and I accept that.
But could I just reply to that particular point? The first, we do have a paragraph that states it in the positive first,
yeah,
and we're sort of just reinforcing it with a paragraph that states
in
it
negative.
In the negative,
yeah,
as well. So it's not instead of.
Yeah. but my suggestion is actually, I really like the paragraph at the end of the day. But my suggestion is that the very last sentence, I think it's confusing after the executory contract. So actually, it's the example clarifies very clearly the one issue that was brought to us. And the up to the point that I affirm or clarify this executory contract, when I entered the last sentence, I think it makes it confusing, can be confusing again. So I don't think, personally, this is really essential for us to achieve the meaning, the last sentence. So just to consider the possibility of excluding.
Okay. So it's the before then sentence.
Yeah, the before then, the contract is executory, and I would stop there, basically.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
Okay.
Mary?
Joan, I agree with your analysis that the comments we got do not suggest a fundamental logical inconsistency that means we have to re-deliberate our conclusions and our package of conclusions. In terms of, and I know I'm jumping ahead to the second question, I think probably I'll avoid specific drafting comments at the table, but it strikes me that we seem to get into trouble when we keep expanding to clarify, you know, to write more to explain what we meant. And so, I know, as you just reminded Amara, that we have a positive expression of what we mean. And we got a lot of comments around the paragraphs that supplement the positive paragraph. So, you know, we have positive paragraph, then we said it means this. It doesn't mean this, it doesn't mean this, it doesn't mean this. And we got lots of comments around the it doesn't mean this or this is how you read it. I think we should step back and look at whether we're just trying to say too much in the framework itself about what it doesn't mean as opposed to, you know, what it does. And I'm not saying let's take out all of these paragraphs, but I think we have to challenge not just a sentence or a piece of a sentence that looks confusing, but whether we're just trying to say too much about it, especially in the conceptual framework itself, as opposed to, for example, in the basis for conclusion, when we might be giving some consideration to the types of issues raised in the comments about why we did not, what, you know, why we did or didn't see it as, did see it as helpful, didn't see it as contradictory, etc. I feel like we're trying to shove too much into the conceptual framework itself. And another thing is, I think we should only go for specific examples in the conceptual framework itself if we're really convinced that it's absolutely necessary to understand the concept, as opposed to it's a nice and useful thing that helps people read along, remembering that the conceptual framework is supposed to survive for a pretty long time without it being a source of alternative analysis of specific transactions. So, you know, I look at this and say, let's steer away from examples if all possible, and let's think about how much we have to expand in the conceptual framework itself about what certain things do not mean as opposed to what they do mean.
I think it's one of those rare occasions when I'm not sure that I agree with Mary. So, I actually really like the changes that you've made to the drafting, and I think I was one of the people that had concerns with the pre-ballot draft on some of the topics that you've addressed, so thank you for proposing to address them. I think this really helps me in terms of understanding how much further the liability definition goes, but that it doesn't go, you know, even further than what might have been intended. And where I don't think I do agree with Mary on this occasion is, I certainly agree that it's hard looking at paragraphs in isolation, so you've got to look at the whole thing, so I certainly agree with that, but I think maybe more is more in this case, because there's been so many questions and so much confusion in groups I've been in at World Standard Setters and other sort of forums about just how far does this definition go. And I actually think that while I agree that, you know, in a conceptual framework you want to keep it conceptual, in some of these instances people are finding it so difficult to understand what exactly it is that we do and don't mean. Some of these examples, just by making them a bit more concrete, I think it really can help aid understanding. So I actually like the fact that we've got the example of the salaries in this case. So I support the change in the drafting.
I agree with everything Mary says, that you should avoid them unless they're absolutely necessary. I just feel this is a place where it's absolutely necessary, because we seem to be broadening the definition of a liability, and we have to say this is where it stops. And that's what this paragraph is saying. You know, we seem to be defining it quite broadly, but here's the boundary.
Yeah, and that's where I think people are confused.
So, and it's quite an abstract boundary as well. And we have, I think, I do agree about examples. I hate examples in the conceptual framework. But this one just seems to give a very simple illustration of a quite abstract concept.
Doug, thank you. Actually, I agree with the staff's recommendation, but just one point I was not 100% convinced was about removing simply being in existence. I think I understand why you would like to remove it, because it could confuse some of the, you know, readers. However, in theory, there might be the tax, like a poll tax, even if you are dormant, and even if you are not really having an activity, then you still be charged, levy or tax. And as long as you are listed or you are in public and you are obliged to IFRS, so existence itself may cause some liability. So in this sense, having this wording doesn't really harm, because the former part of this sentence, it already said it could include. So it's already said it could include. So therefore, even if it's simply being in existence is a rare case, but this exactly shows how our new concept of liability works. So I don't think we really need to delete it.
Sue does not agree.
No, this was my, the best thing I could see in this paper was the removal of that, because for me, I think that that, for those who thought that this was now the never-ending liability definition, I think that was just adding confusion. And so I absolutely agreed with the observation, I think that's in the paper here somewhere, that while you could think of some circumstances where it might be relevant, for the benefit that creates versus the sort of unintended consequences, the cost-benefit trade-off wasn't so good.
Scope is so narrow.
I agree with what you said. I think it's all absolutely true. What I thought about is that it's got this potential to do damage, but also in the situations that you're thinking of, where perhaps a government just comes along and slaps a tax on everybody, all entities just for existing, there's probably never going to be any doubt as to when that liability arises. It's there, and people won't have difficulty interpreting the concepts for these cases. It's the cases where it is difficult that people will go to the conceptual framework, or the board will go to the conceptual framework, and it's in these cases that simply even existing could be misinterpreted.
I think there's overall a very simple point that we're trying to get to in not only the paragraphs in this paper, but also the surrounding paragraphs in the section of the conceptual framework, and it's that in many instances, let's call it a contract as opposed to regulation, you enter into a contract. You then have, the contract includes a hurdle that if you don't hit the hurdle, you get nothing. But in between when you enter into the contract and you hit the hurdle, you have partial performance. And I think what we're trying to say is entering into the contract is not the past event that, that creates the whole obligation. It's normally entering into the contract is executory. It's you don't avoid having a regulation until you get a liability, until you get to the hurdle, because you have received benefits along the way. So we're just trying to say the past event normally is not entering into the contract, and the obligation is created before you get to the hurdle, because it's the partial delivery along the way. And we just seem to be taking an awful lot of paragraphs to say that.
I think possibly because it is quite complicated that there is a past event when you enter into a contract. You have done something.
But it's executory.
But it's executory, and it's just an obligation to exchange, which isn't necessarily a liability. And it's the doing something else. It does seem to need a reasonable amount of explanation.
And so I think in looking at the drafting, because I think the question you brought back to the board is, do all these comments cause you to rethink your decision? And the answer is no. We've identified a couple of things like that. Merely being in existence is being more problematic than beneficial. But maybe even go back and look at whether you're trying to move the executory, the point about it being executory, to the beginning rather than to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just really standing back and saying, what is it that we're trying to say?
Okay.
Okay. I think we have answer to both questions.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Next paper, Julia.
Yes, thank you.
Flowchart,
yes, moving to agenda B, but then B.
So flowchart.
Right, so a very brief introduction. So as you know, the existing conceptual framework states that to make decisions about resource allocations, users need information about both resources and claims, and how efficiently and effectively management has discharged its responsibilities. The existing framework does not use the term stewardship, but the basis for conclusions explains the idea that the need for information to assess stewardship is necessary, and it's inherent in the existing framework. So in the light of the feedback the board received in the course of this project, the board decided to reintroduce the term stewardship in the revised conceptual framework. Accordingly, the pre-ballot draft stated that in order to make decisions about resource allocation, users need to be able to assess both prospects for cash flows and be able to assess management stewardship of the entity resources. To make those assessments, users need information about both resources and claims and how effectively and efficiently management has discharged its responsibilities. However, some reviewers of the pre-ballot draft found the description in the pre-ballot draft confusing, and in particular, they found it quite difficult to follow the link between making decisions about resource allocations, expectations about returns, assessment of stewardship and assessment of prospects for cash flows, and then the information needs. So they found this whole chain of logic quite difficult to follow, to the extent that some reviewers felt that we've changed the objective of general purpose financial reporting, which was not, of course, the board's intention. We think that this is because the language in Chapter 1 is already arguably a little bit dense, and the introduction of the discussion of stewardship made it even a little bit more dense, and we think it would be helpful to clarify those links. So, of course, those links could be clarified by making further changes to Chapter 1. However, we do not recommend that approach. This is a recent chapter, it's been through due process, and the board didn't want to touch it in the first place. Therefore, we do not recommend further changes to the text of Chapter 1. We think a better approach could be including a simple flow chart in Chapter 1, which would illustrate the links between objective of general purpose financial reporting, returns, assessment of stewardship, and assessment of cash flows, and the information needs. And this is an approach that we recommend. Our staff recommendation is set out in paragraph 2, and illustrative flow chart is included in appendix of agenda paper 10B. Do you agree with our recommendation?
Okay, we're getting excited here. Anne.
I like the flow chart, and I appreciate we're trying to change the text of chapter 1 as little as possible. I just wonder whether the response might be to the flowchart that we've now elevated stewardship to be equal with the decision usefulness rather than part of it. Because in the text of your paper, you talk about stewardship as being part of the information, the usefulness of the information and the way the information might be used, that it's a part of it. And that was always the idea in the original conceptual framework. So I just wonder whether this, because this now has got the blocks and it's on the page, does that then say there are these two uses for the information, and they are have the same prominence?
But I think what's important here is that I think this is exactly what we mean. We mean that there is one single objective, which is to provide information to make resource allocation decisions, and this objective did not change. But within that objective, to make those decisions, users need to be able to do both assessments, and they're sort of equal, if you will, in their importance. And to make those assessments, they need two types of information. So what we're trying to capture in this flow chart is to reflect the board decision on this feature.
Nick?
Thank you.
Thank you. It's really following on from Anne's comment. I think it's a question of prominence still. And looking through this, and I agree, going back and thinking about how past returns have been generated, it does provide information in terms of thinking about future cash flows. But you could, as an alternative, looking at the blocks, in the third block, you could lose that right-hand box completely. And actually, then down in the fourth block, just drop the words in the top half about stewardship. And it still stacks up to my mind. I think there is some confusion in bringing that in that third block, the right-hand element in there, and it is giving more prominence. It is important in terms of assessing returns.
So would you combine the two blocks? Is that what you mean?
No, I would have, so block three, I'd have expectations about return depend on the assessment of the prospects for future net cash flows, and that would all I'd have in that final section. And then in the fourth block, I'd probably drop the words in the top and of stewardship and have those two blocks underneath need information about resources and need information about how efficiently and effectively management have discharged their responsibilities.
But I think those suggestions sort of do not really agree with text in paragraph 1.3. So what we've done in the flowchart, we exactly mirrored what is in the text of pre-ballot draft, and the text of the pre-ballot draft reflects the board decisions. So all
exactly, I think what you'd be suggesting there, Nick, would be going back to the original text that we had, that we took a decision to increase the prominence of stewardship if we went down that route.
And I need to step back because I obviously wasn't party to those decisions, so I shouldn't create any more confusion in that respect.
This is such an endless story, and I don't think I'm so happy with what we decided. But. Françoise.
Well, I agree with what Julia just said, that the flowchart mirrors pretty well the way the paragraphs are already written. And for that reason, I don't see the need for the flowchart, because I think it shows that the text is very clear. And I read the comments and as those, in fact, well, not really happy with the decision of the board and are not ready to accept it, would like, you know, to be different, in fact.
I don't think the flowchart will make them happy.
I don't know, but I think it's not needed, and it doesn't add anything. And I'm very much prefer, in fact, when I read it first, it's so dry when you read it alone that I thought, well, I mean, is the decision not what I had understood? And then I reread the text and I said, well, but the text is clear. So this is more confusing than anything. So let's keep the text as it is.
I agree with Françoise. I don't think we need a flowchart in a conceptual frame. I think it's even worse than an example. and then when I look at it, I think that well, perhaps we, and I look at the text again, I'm not sure if we've got it completely right, but you know. But for example, you know, but you know, why is stewardship important? It is, the first. Meaning of it, or you, the investor wants to look at what have they done with my money. So it's the backward looking, the confirmatory role of the financial statements. They've done a lousy job. I'm pulling my money out of the company. So I think it is very much related. First of all, not so much about the expectations about returns. Also, but secondarily, it is first about decisions relating to providing resources to the entity. I believe. And then secondly, yes, also, of course, what they have done in the past gives me confidence or no confidence about the future returns. And I'm not sure if we have written it down correctly, but I think this will lead to a whole set of new questions. Again, I don't think we should have flowcharts in a conceptual framework. It's just ugly.
I'd just like to underline something Julia said about the text being very dense, and I think this is not just with the addition of the extra words about stewardship, but it's the existing text. And I agree absolutely that if you sit down in a room like we're doing and you read paragraphs 1.2 to 1.4 through to the end, as we are doing in a kind of disciplined way, then it adds nothing. But what we've found throughout the project is people don't actually read it in that way in practice. What they do is they dip into that section, they find the first word they recognise and they kind of latch onto that and they don't pick up the whole context. And I think what the flowchart would do is would provide a visual reminder of what that sequence of thought is through there, which is very logical as you read it through, but people just find it very difficult to keep it in their mind for some reason.
I just think that it makes extra clear that the text is possibly not completely fantastic. Tom.
I agree completely with Francois's reminder of the P.G. Woodhouse where they said the aunt found that reiteration helped her get her points across.
If it mirrors, simply repeating it will maybe for this one, but there's probably 100 places. We have three people commented. There are 100 places where we could reiterate it to be more forceful. And I just think we should do it clearly once and just keep it straightforward. If the flow chart was going to present something radically different or different information, that's fine. But it largely is just reiteration. And we've only got these two people or three people who raised it. And the conceptual framework, we could double in size, reiterate everything. So I really agree with Françoise. I think, and also Mary's earlier point, this is going to last a long time. It should be written as concisely and clearly as possible.
Doug, thank you. I'm not a big fan of this flowchart. However, actually, I read this flowchart and came back to the original literature. I understand better because it's clearly said that the objective of general purpose financial reporting is just one, not two. And the second step, then decision relating provided resources. So it shows the sequence of thought process. And then when it comes to the expectation, there are two ways. And then in order to assess these two ways, there are these two assessments. So in this sense, actually for me, it was much easier to understand what the literature wanted to illustrate. So therefore, it doesn't add anything new, but I don't agree that this flowchart didn't add any incremental value. I think it added some incremental value. So therefore, I support having a flowchart.
Okay, who wants a flowchart?
We have three in favor.
Three flowcharters.
Valiant effort.
Okay.